Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Jimmy. Good afternoon on this Wednesday afternoon. How are you? 51551, ray@rte.ie. We were talking to Conor Pope on Monday, as we do every Monday, about whether the use of cash has dwindled or not. We had a long chat about it, and he wrote about it in the Irish Times. The government yesterday announced it will not oppose a motion that seeks to ensure that access to cash will be protected. The motion brought forward by rural independents is set to be debated today, and it's going to call on the government to ensure that banks continue to provide cash services throughout the country. So the journal.ie have done a poll on how often people use cash, and here are the results from about a half an hour ago. Always 33%, sometimes 30%, very rarely 23%, only when there's no other option 12%. So there you go, there still is a need for cash. But as we discussed with Conor on Monday, lockdown sped up, accelerated a move towards contactless payments. And Conor admitted, and I'm sure it's the same for a lot of people, that he doesn't even have cards anymore. Doesn't even have a wallet. It's all on his phone. And then what happens when you lose your phone? Well, definitely the under 25s, Generation Z, are attached to their phone more than any other generation. They've grown up with them. They don't know a world without this huge computer in their pocket. And yet, there's research in the papers today saying that they don't know how to read a map. This is the under 25s. Now, this is the majority. They don't know how to change a tyre. And they don't know how to grow veg. I suppose that could be said of a lot of people over 25 as well. The reading the map thing. I think it's important to know where you are, to have an idea. You know, I always do that sort of, you know, as if you're up in a helicopter. The bird's eye view. So I have to have an idea where I am. Where's, you know, south, north, where's east, west, where I'm going, you know, where I am in relation to Dublin, Cork, Galway, Waterford, Donegal. I need to know all that. I think that's important, just to know where you are on planet Earth. But with, you know, just putting it into your phone. Google, Waterford. Just, that's all you have to do. Anyway, that's that. Big excitement. We spoke to the designers yesterday, and we're speaking to more people about the Oscars today. But there was big excitement out in Dublin Airport this morning as the crew and cast of On Colleen Kuhn were heading off to the Oscars. So it's big news. And I think Dervla and Paul Mescal were there as well. We spoke to Dervla last week, all heading off to the Oscars. And I see the sign behind the picture. Aer Lingus presents Flying Stars, starring the Irish Oscar nominees. So we wish them all well, and we'll be doing that for the rest of the week. 14 nominations, the most ever. And Paul Mescal, it's good. He's on Jimmy Kimmel, and I don't know if it's obviously been decided by now, but there's sort of wind in his sails, and he's been nominated for Best Actor for his role in After Sun, and he is brilliant in it, absolutely brilliant in it, because it's a nuanced role. He's hiding a lot, you know what I mean? There's a lot going on. It's like the swan. He appears that he's calm on top, but there's loads of frantic stuff going on underneath, and he has to play that as an actor, and that's difficult to be believable. Anyway, he was on Jimmy Kimmel, and he was talking about the Oscars, and of course, he was asked, who are you bringing? Who are you bringing, Paul, to the Oscars?
My mom's coming with me.
All right. Okay, so yeah. Mom's coming.
Yeah, clap for mom. She's great. Yeah. She is, she's so excited.
Did she pick out a dress yet?
She is, yeah.
Did you help her with that?
No, I wouldn't trust myself with that. There's more important people who decide on what she should wear. But,
Do you have to worry about your mother mingling?
I do
mingling?
A little bit. It's not so much mingling. She's really good at that. It's more so when, like, anybody... So she came with me, her and my dad came to the BAFTAs, and anytime anyone would mention their partner or loved ones in a speech or got remotely emotional, she would just go... Oof.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I was like, my mother is one of the most spectacular women in the world, but it's the pressure of, like, you don't know these people, Mum. You can't... Like, she would cry watching the, like, Kardashians at home.
I see. Oh, she would.
What a lovely man talking about a lovely woman. Paul Mescal there with Jimmy Kimmel talking about his mum. Dervla, who will be his plus one at the Oscars this Sunday, which is a big, huge, colossal. There are no words to describe how big a night it is for Paul and for Dervla. And you know, it won't be the last time, but we wish them well, and we'll be doing it again tomorrow probably, and again on Friday. Do you know Shazam? It's the app on your phone, and I use it an awful lot at home because most, you know, TV shows and movies now, they have songs that I wouldn't know, and I Shazam them and I know what they are then, and then I go and play them, and it turns out that the 5 minutes of the song doesn't really live up to the 30 seconds I heard on the movie or on the TV program with pictures. Anyway, there's a frustrating part of it is that if there's something in your head, you know, you can't sing into Shazam. It doesn't work like that. You have to have the song on, the actual recorded thing, whatever way the electronics work. But now, our Niamh discovered last night, because she had something going around in her head. She was watching the promo for the Brian Dowling, the Brian and Arthur documentary, which is coming up next week. And there was a song used, and it was an instrumental, and she wanted to find out what it was. She knew it, but she couldn't. Anyway, she couldn't Shazam it. She went on to Google, and just by accident, she pressed on the microphone icon when Google comes up on your phone, and she hummed it. She hummed the song into that, and it got it for her. It's sort of like a humming Shazam. So for example, I said, I'll try it. So I went. And I got it. Yeah, I was humming Stop by Spice Girls. Why was I humming that? Well, we'll find out as we go live now to Sinead Niulacon. How are you doing, Sinead?
Ray, I'm doing very well. I'm practicing my dance moves here in Stony Batter in Dublin 7. Because guess where I am?
Carnew Street.
Carnew Street, 10 Yay! Out of 10 for you, Ray. Oh, why am I here though?
You tell me.
Well, the Spice Girls, of course, released that wonderful single, Stop, and you did a great job there humming it.
Yes.
Did Google recognise it, by the way?
It did, yeah. Well, maybe.
It did, okay.
Maybe.
Good. Yeah. Well, do you know that Stop was released 25 years ago tomorrow on the 9th of March, 1998. And in January of that year, 98, the Spice Girls arrived in Dublin and arrived in Wicklow to record the video for that song. Infamous now at this stage. It's a beautiful video of them all gathered on Carnew Street, dancing away to the song, and all the locals out and about as well on this street. And I'm here today I'm recreating it for myself as well, dancing away here.
Do you know what people at home are saying? They're saying, stop, it's not 25 years. Couldn't be 25 years. 25
I know, I couldn't
years.
Believe it.
Yes.
I couldn't believe it myself. 25 years, I was a massive Spice Girls fan. When I was younger, I had all the tapes. I didn't have them in CD form at all, but tapes. I got them for Christmas. I loved them. And sometimes when I look back at old photos of the Spice Girls, I get really happy because I remember those childhood memories and those times. And I don't know if you ever saw that photo of Adele the singer, but she's maybe 10 or 11 years of age in this photo that has been, it's all over the internet anyway. You can Google it and see it there. But she's sitting in her bed, and behind her, she has all these posters of the Spice Girls, and she looks so happy.
But they were like globally huge. You know, they were hanging out with Nelson Mandela and Prince Charles, and they were just a global phenomenon.
Absolutely.
And of course, there was the girl power thing. It was a moment in time, wasn't it?
It was, and I think that everybody could relate to one of them. I think that was a clever marketing ploy that they had, because they had someone who was a little bit scary. They had somebody who was sporty. I wasn't into maybe tank tops, or rather into spaghetti strap tops or little skirts. So I identified with Mel C, Sporty Spice.
Yes.
But there was someone for everyone. And they were so full of life, and still are as well. When you look back at some of the old interviews that they did, they just lit up a room completely. But there was never, I found anyway, I don't know if you'd agree with this, but I never thought that one over the other was trying to hog the limelight.
No.
There was a nice sense of just that they were at ease with one another.
I interviewed them 3 times. Oh, sorry, you didn't ask. Sorry, I just...
Oh, yes.
Just offered that up.
Did you ever interview them, Ray?
Yeah, I interviewed them 3 times, actually.
Go on. Yeah. Did you have a favourite?
Well, once in, it was, of the Spice Girls or of the interviews? No, but anyway, one of them was in London, and when they were fronting Pepsi, I think it was, and the odd thing, we had to wait so long that the restaurant we were being corralled into ran out of Pepsi and had to serve us Coke. That was a funny thing. Then I interviewed them in Paris for one of the things, and then they were in Dublin doing the Point Theatre, and I interviewed them. I suppose the one that impressed me at the time was Posh Spice.
Oh, why yeah. so because?
I just, she was bright, she was funny, she was engaging, and you didn't see a lot of that, you know, because the others, you know, like obviously Scary Spice was larger than life. Jerry Halliwell, you know, she was big. Emma Bunton was had an Irish connection and all that. And, you know, Victoria Beckham was sort of quiet but understated, but had all those qualities. And you can see that now because she's running a fashion empire, you know.
An empire. Because I went to see them not so long ago, 2019 now, when they had the comeback concert in Croke Park. And it was such a shame in a way that Victoria wasn't part of it, because it would have just... It would have meant so much to the fans and I suppose to the Spice Girls themselves, but C'est la vie, or no, that's a Bewitched song.
Hey!
Stop the lights.
you're on Carr New Street, and of course all talk of Spice Girls. So on the way there, did you get up to anything?
I certainly did. I was roaming the streets of Dublin 7 this morning because I want to find out what is the nation's favourite Spice Girls song. Mm. So I went about talking to people in and around Carnew Street, and I met a woman who has the same name as me. This is Sinead.
My favourite Spice Girls song is Mama. I remember really liking that when I was a kid, and also I'll just say it today because it's Women's Day for my mum.
Ah, isn't that lovely?
Yeah. And I had another question as well, because of course Wannabe is the number one, the first single that they had. They did amazing out of Wannabe, and it kind of launched them on the world map.
Yeah.
But do people remember the words to Wannabe? Can they still sing it? I asked Sinead as well.
I really, really, really want a zig zig. Ah!
Hey!
We definitely thought it was a cigar in school, but who knows what it was.
I think they were nonsensical. I think they were nonsensical, weren't they? Yeah.
Absolutely. And I met Maria as well, and she told me about her favourite song.
My favourite Spice Girls song is Spice Up Your Life. I think because, like, still when it comes on in a nightclub or a pub, everyone still gets really excited about it and will probably start dancing around to it. And everyone knows the words probably still as well.
Would you dance around to it?
Probably, yeah.
A few drinks maybe, but...
And you asked her about her memory of the lyrics for Wannabe.
Oh God, you put me on the spot. Wannabe. Oh yes, I do. I remember now. You gotta get with my friends. Yeah. Oh God, last forever, friendship never ends. Yeah, I do remember it.
Can you remember the rap?
Oh God, no. I can't. They're not on my Spotify playlist, unfortunately, the Spice Girls. But I do know the song. I do know the song.
We've dug out the rap, Sinead. You can
go on.
You can rap along if you like.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I know the lyrics.
Oh, here's a story from A to Z. You wanna get with me? You gotta listen carefully. We got M in the place who likes it in your face. You got G like MC who likes it on an easy V. You doesn't come for free. She's a real lady. And as for me, you'll see.
Stop.
That's Send me a body down, right? That's, wind it all around.
That's a different, I was just doing the maths on it. So that's 25 years ago. So they hit the scene, you know, 26, 27 years ago. So it's mainly women in their mid to late 30s who would know all the lyrics. Is it? No.
Debatable, Ray.
Yeah.
I met a man. His name's Gary. And he was unsure of the lyrics, but they were embedded somewhere in his head.
Well, now, as a 55-year-old, I'm rushing back to my memory to thinking it might have been that Ziggy Zig Ga song. That's all I can remember from it, you know. They passed me by. I wasn't young or trendy enough at the time to get them, but I get them now.
And if I told you the name of the song, do you think you might be able to recall some of the lyrics?
Yes, I'll give it a try.
Wannabe.
Your lover.
Hey, okay.
There you go. I don't want to be your friend. Friendship never ends. And then it goes to the Ziggy Zig Ga song.
See, you know more than you think you do.
Yes, I think I do. Yes. Maybe I was a secret Spice Girl fan all along.
Not any longer, Gary. You've been outed as a Spice Girl
fan. On live radio.
Yeah. And there was another man, Nikita.
Yeah.
If you want to be my lover, you got to be my friends. Last forever. Friendship never ends.
And why is that your favorite Spice Girls song?
It's catchy. I know it's from childhood.
From his childhood, yeah. So who do we leave the last word to?
The last word goes to Aisling.
My favourite Spice Girls song is probably Wannabe. It's just so catchy, so much fun. It's a dance floor filler. Absolutely love it.
And can you remember any of the lyrics?
Oh, God. If you want to be my lover, you got to get with my friends, maybe. But I've actually never understood the meaning of that lyric. So there we go. It's a bit of ambiguity there.
I'll tell you what I want, what I mean.
you go. That was good fun. I enjoyed that. So what's the plan now?
So the plan is, I'm still on Carnew Street. I'm looking at all the houses and I can spot Bernie Riley's house. It's just a few feet away from me. And Bernie, of course, appeared in the video First Stop. So I'd love to go in, have a cup of tea with her, sit down, have a chat and maybe talk about the memories that she has of that day back in January 1998 when the Spice Girls came to town.
So will you do what they did? Because when they were on Carnew Street 25 years ago, they went along and they knocked on all the doors. So can you?
They
knock,
certainly did.
Can you knock on Bernie's door for us?
Absolutely. Give me 2 seconds and I'm going to run across the road and knock on her door. And
don't
hopefully,
get knocked down. Don't get knocked down.
Hopefully I won't get knocked down in the meantime. All right, Bernie, are you in? Hi, Bernie, how are you? Great stuff.
Spice Girls, Stop, released 25 years ago. Tomorrow! Hard to believe. Who's your favourite Spice Girl? Who was the best singer? Mel C, yeah. Yeah, I was looking at that video and yeah, I think you're right. I think Mel C is the best singer. That's Niamh. She says Mel C is the best singer. My brother is in the Spice Girls Stop video. There's even a gif of him being in it. Gas is Elaine in Wicklow. Yes, because half it was done in Carnew Street and half it was done in Rathdrum, which was also used in Michael Collins. I'm sure it was used in lots of other things because it's a very scenic and photogenic little village in Wicklow. With the day that's coming up, my favourite Spice Girl song is Mama, I Love You. Yes, that one there. Mama, I love you. Mama, I care. Nice, yeah. There's a lot of hits. I've been doing that with Google microphone to identify music forever, Ray. Niamh and Cork, she's sort of saying, you're late to the party. Cash is king in my experience. In the supermarket the other day, 3 contactless payments in front of me took an average of 6 minutes per transaction. My bill came to €45. I handed in 50 and it only took seconds. Cash is king, says that person. Well, a lot of people are still using cash and it's going to be around for some time to come. Not me singing the Spice Girls Stop at the top. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Got me singing the Spice Girls Stop at the top of my lungs in the car when I heard it on RT radio. And that's Claire McGing. How you doing, Claire? Obviously a Spice Girls fan. You see, it is. I was doing the maths. If it's 25, 26, 27 years ago and they meant an awful lot to girls of a certain age and those girls are now women of a certain age and all that sort of thing. And of course, it's apt that we're doing it today because today is International Women's Day and they wear girl power, all that sort of thing. Anyway, we're looking for 2 contestants to take part in our Who Done It quiz. Press the button. Yeah, 2 quizzers, 3 Who Done It questions on music, sport, books, politics, comedians, anything that involves human endeavour. And like all Who Done It, there will be clues. If you answer without a clue, you get 2. And with a clue, it's easier. You get 1 for a correct answer. And there is a prize. And it's a 2-night stay for 2 people in the Riverlea Hotel in Cork. It's part of the family-run Irish luxury hotel group, the Doyle Collection. Spring is in the air, they tell us. It's time to discover all Cork has to offer with the Riverlea's dinner-inclusive stays. For a limited time only, use the promo code CHAMPAGNE when booking directly on their website to enjoy a complimentary bottle of champagne to toast your arrival. Beautiful riverside location, luxurious bedrooms and dining and drinks options to suit every taste. DoyleCollection.com/Cork. You'll find out all about it. And here is your qualifying question on this Wednesday afternoon. Is it International Women's Day or International Men's Day? Is it International Women's Day or International Men's Day? 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Joined in studio now by Siobhan Ryan. Siobhan is a Dublin woman living in Laois with her husband Declan and 2 sons, Ryan and Jamie. And there's Coco the dog as well. Last week we got an email from Siobhan and in the subject line it said, "The kindness of strangers to help us on our quest for robotics." So that's caught our attention. She was writing to us about her 10-year-old son Jamie. He has an undiagnosed rare disorder with refractory epilepsy. And he also has a lot of sensory issues. He can't talk, he can't walk on his own. But Siobhan also described Jamie as the cheekiest child who loves music, the outdoors, tractors and noise. And he'd love to get into robotics, literally. Good afternoon, Siobhan.
Good afternoon, Ray. How are you?
Good. Good to see you and thanks for coming up from Laois. Whereabouts in Laois are you?
Port Laois.
Port Laois.
Yeah.
And why'd you move down from Dublin?
Honest answer, at the time, houses were cheaper. We're 16 years down there now. It's home now, I guess.
Yeah, are you still regarded as a blow-in?
Oh, God, won't we? I think we always will be.
Yeah.
But the boys are leash men.
They're natives.
They're natives, yeah. Lovely leash accent Ryan has.
Was there somebody down there before you?
Declan's brother, Liam, lives down there, yeah. So it,
and where's Declan from originally?
Roscommon. Okay. Roscommon, man, Castlereagh, yeah.
Right, multi-county.
Multi-county, yeah. We're from all over.
Yeah. So Ryan was your firstborn.
Yeah.
So what age is he now?
He's 13, he's nearly 14.
Right.
Yeah, teenagers.
Second year?
Just gone in for first year.
First year, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. He's a
and then Jamie came along three years after.
Yeah.
So everything was according to plan?
Everything was according to plan, yeah. The three-year-old and a newborn, it was...
Yeah.
Word to come is fun. we thought everything was rosy in the garden, yeah. I suppose you'd say. Things were well, we were busy. Declan was working in Dublin. I was on maternity leave. It's all a bit of a blur, to be honest, right?
Right. But there was no problem with the birth or anything.
No, everything was absolutely fine.
Because a mother's intuition sometimes, I think, is better than any doctor's diagnosis.
Mm.
So when did the mother's intuition kick in that something might be wrong?
Around 5 months. I had been working in childcare beforehand, so I was around a lot of children, and not just Ryan, who I suppose was textbook in development. But you know that stage where children start to find their hands and they start to explore.
Yeah, it's
the world.
They're like, I've hands.
Wow, yeah. These things are amazing. And they find their feet. And subsequently, I've learned how important those parts of development are. Jamie never did that.
Uh-huh.
He didn't explore his environment. He didn't find his environment attractive or play with toys, really. Yeah. And I know at 5 months, they're not really playing with toys, but he wasn't interested in the world. He was quite closed off.
So, you do developmental tests, don't you?
Yeah, and he actually passed the first couple. Okay. It was at the stage where children start to develop and he wasn't.
Okay.
So he didn't crawl, he didn't roll over, he didn't sit up until he was 13 months. And he wasn't, I suppose, happy. He had, his hands were like in defensive mode. The way I describe it, and it I do have a very dark sense of humour, I'm going to warn you all now. He was like a T-Rex. So the two hands were up like this, and it's a defensive mode. So he was afraid of everything. He didn't want to touch things. He didn't touch a toy until he was 18 months old.
Right.
Which is quite unusual for children. So typically he didn't develop in the typical pattern.
Now knowing what you know now, it must be hard, difficult enough for you, because you now know that he was suffering in a way as a baby. He was, because he was afraid of his environment. Stimuli weren't his friends.
No. And I suppose hindsight is a...
Yeah.
Look, it's a wonderful thing for us all. We're 10 years down the road now. I wish I knew then what I know now, but...
There's no way of knowing.
And I don't know whether any parent does. Mm. I think a lot of us will look back on our children's early lives and go, oh God, I wish I knew that. Parenting is a journey, and I don't typically like that kind of...
No, but it doesn't matter how many books you read.
No. And there's certainly, whatever about there being no book for typically developing children. And I laugh about this with my other parenting friends of children with disabilities. There is no book for parenting a child with a disability. And I had, a background in childcare, which is, I think, one of the reasons why I found it particularly difficult, because children is my thing. So you know when you go to the pub quiz and everyone has a round? Well, my round is the children round.
Right.
Mine is the, I know this one because I know kids. I speak fluent child.
Right. Okay.
Like children at Christmas tell me what they want. I'm like, hello. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to help him. I didn't know how to support him.
Okay, he's not reaching all those milestones there. Mm-hmm. He hasn't sit up until he's 13 months.
Yeah.
So then you start asking for professional help, I suppose, and you ask the professionals, what's going on here?
Well, yeah, you start going, we were going from appointment to appointment, really. So it was, maybe the next person. So it was ears, eyes, brain, paediatricians. And through absolutely no fault of their own, because there is, it's unknown. So everything can come back clear. Everything. MRIs, clear. CT scan, clear. Bloods, clear.
Right.
Ears were, I mean.
When they met Jamie, were they saying it might be this or it might be that?
No, because he doesn't present as typically anything. No. Ryan jokes and calls it Jamie-itis or non-walkie-talkie-itis is what he used to call it when he was little.
Non-walkie-talkie-itis.
He doesn't present as, he's just Jamie. There's no other way. So he's, as you described him, he's very cheeky. Oh, and his face says it all. He has the cheekiest face you've ever seen. And he's the bluest eyes. And when he looks at you, he actually reads your soul.
Right.
It's incredible. And he's got this empathy with other people that he can read whether you're genuinely wanting to talk to him or not. He can read generally emotions and things like that. He's quite in tune like that.
Right.
But he doesn't, he's not typically of any disorder.
So as you're going from paediatrician to ear specialist to eye specialist to neurologist, and all of them are saying the same thing.
They're saying something's going on here. He's obviously not developing, but we don't know why.
That's difficult, isn't it?
It was at the time because I wanted to fit in with something. So you're not part of the mom club anymore, the typically developing mom club anymore, because there isn't... he wasn't enjoying the environment. So there were certain stimuli that weren't joyful to him.
Yeah,
like mother and baby groups or the coffee shop.
Didn't like that.
And then
the car, do you like the car?
The car, I think when he was very small, to be honest, a lot of it is a blur. Yeah. When he was very small, I think he was okay. But as he got older, the car was not a pleasant experience for him. When it stopped, it's absolutely fine when it's moving.
Okay. Yeah.
Because there's joy from movement, but stopping is not fun. He's okay now. And then if you don't have a name on what the disorder is, so there's no support group for that. Now there's a.
It's lack of information because you don't know what the prognosis is. You don't know what you should be doing. You don't know. You can't. It's beyond difficult. I would think.
It's strange because all I wanted to know was what it would look like. We'll say now. And if
yes, that's what I'm saying. So in 5 years
in
time,
5 years
what
time
like
this is what it's going to look like. And now I wish I could go back and say, it's going to be okay.
Right.
You're going to be okay. And this is what it's going to look like. But at the time, I didn't know.
Okay. It sounds to me that, because you've used the word blur, I think, three times. Yeah. So how were you then? And how did you deal with it yourself?
How did I deal with it myself? I did the high pitch fine thing. I'm absolutely fine. So to the outside world, I don't know whether anybody believed me, but I was saying I was fine. Mostly, I think I was okay, but my mental health did, it did suffer at the time. Look at, I think the difficult thing was, and you often hear, once they're happy and healthy. Well, we had a child who was neither happy nor healthy. So that can be difficult without a, well, they're not happy and healthy now, but if you do this, and this.
You didn't have that. You didn't
and
have
I didn't
steps.
Have the, this, yes, this, this, yes, and this yeah. at the time.
And Declan, as you said, was working in Dublin. So
Declan Declan was leaving at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Returning at?
6 o'clock.
Right.
To a child. So sometimes he'd come in and we'd be on the kitchen floor and Jamie was maybe after having, because he didn't enjoy his environment, sometimes it got too much for him and he would have, I suppose you could call it a meltdown, like his sensory system just had to shut down. And the only way of shutting that down was him actually being on my lap, being squeezed by me, and then he'd fall asleep.
Right.
And that was wherever we were. So it could be on the kitchen floor, it could have been on the trampoline. So Declan could walk in and I'm on the kitchen floor. Ryan is playing wherever. And we're trying to be all, yay, Ryan, let's play. And Jamie's asleep on me. And he'd just walk into this after being up from 5 o'clock in the morning.
And commuting, doing a two-hour commute or whatever.
Yeah. So it was no easy feat for him.
No, for
either.
Anybody involved.
Yeah.
And then there's Ryan as well. And
yeah.
And we often talk about this, and I'm sure there are books written on this. It's the siblings of of children who are disabled. And, you know, because that's we're using the word difficult a lot here, but, you know, do they get enough attention? How do you do that?
Yeah, and they call them glass children sometimes, because sometimes people look through them.
Right.
And I find it's really important for us to see Ryan as a child in his own right and not as Jamie's brother.
Mm.
So he's Ryan, he's funny, he's great company, he plays basketball, he's kind, and he's a lovely child in his own right.
Okay. So we know that you have some sort of idea now, because I mentioned refractory epilepsy in the introduction.
Mm-hmm.
What is refractory epilepsy?
Basically means that the drugs don't work.
Right.
Yeah, so seizure-free is not something that's on the horizon for us, really. Ever.
And how often would the seizures be?
You could get them typically every week. We have gone 3, 4, 5 weeks where there's none, and then you might get 2 or 3 in a week, and they're always at night time.
Right. And how long do they last?
Anywhere from 3 minutes to 20, 25 right. minutes. Yeah.
I'd say the first one was...
The first one was probably the scariest thing that I've ever witnessed. I obviously called an ambulance, and I remember thinking to myself, oh, really? Really? Does he need this as well? Like, this is fair.
Because
I didn't know at the time when he had the first one, and we had to call the ambulance, and Ryan was out. We live in this lovely area where, you know, children play in the road. Ryan was out in the road, and I'm going, an ambulance is going to pull up outside of our house for his little brother. So the first one was, very difficult. First time in the back of an ambulance was very difficult. I kept having to tell myself, The breathing, I was doing the 7-11 breathing, telling myself, you got this, you can do this, it's going to be fine. But now we're, I suppose, old hands at it now. We sit and we time and we minister.
And there's no ambulance, just...
There can be, it depends on the timing.
So you know that Jamie suffers with refractory epilepsy.
Yeah.
The sensory issues are, is that the stimulus?
He needs... He needs a lot of information into his body every day.
He needs to be stimulated.
He needs to be stimulated in specific ways that he craves.
Right.
And because he can crawl and he can stand, but he can't run and he can't spin himself. So we need to give him the stimulation that his body craves ourselves. So lots of spinning, swinging, squeezing.
Right.
Vibration, all sorts of things. So we have a specific...
And so you described that as stimming, which I've only ever heard, you know, attributed to people who have autism.
Mm-hmm.
And does the word stimming come from stimulating? Stimulation, I wonder, does it?
Oh, you've got me there, right?
No, I'm just wondering, does it?
I don't know. Now, he does this lovely... He does stim with his hands, as you'd say. So he shakes his hands when he's excited or just out of a pleasure. It's a pleasurable experience for him. So he moves his hands. His hands are never... Actually, his body is never still.
Right.
But his hands are particularly... He always has something shaking or moving or...
So he's a man who wants to move.
He is a man that wants to move.
But he can't in the traditional way.
Yeah, he needs the information to be given to his brain. So everything he has learned to date,
what
we
do you
have
do?
Done with
you,
him.
You hold him up and...
We do some... we hold him up. The whole aim is to hold him as low in the body as we possibly can. So we've been working from like pelvis to thighs. We're trying to get ankles at the moment, but you can imagine. So he's 10, so he's about 120 centimetres tall. So he's quite high up. So that feeling there's a lot of me standing up here. So he can stand if you hold him at ankles, but it's a little scary for him.
Right. So we're getting close to the robotics here now.
We are.
Okay. So we're a small country.
We are.
Yeah. I'm in a small country, you have very few people who suffer from certain disabilities, which means that the services aren't here. That's just the reality of
being, the
living
reality.
In a small
yeah.
country.
Yeah.
America, Canada, bigger countries, more people suffering, more facilities.
Yeah.
Yes. So we turn our eyes, don't we, towards oftentimes in the...
Yeah. And I mean, you've got, I suppose Jamie is unusual, but when you've got more children with disabilities have got more children who present like Jamie, yes. Even though he's undiagnosed, there are other undiagnosed children. It's just that, like you said, the pool of children with disabilities
here. So Declan was watching Operation Transformation.
Yeah.
One of the leaders had a daughter, a daughter with cystic fibrosis.
Cerebral palsy.
With cerebral palsy. And he noticed that she was getting treatment in America.
Yeah.
Right. Go on. You go next.
So we saw David Cryan tweeted that his daughter Zoe was in Napa in Boston. And Declan said it to me and he said, look, Siobhan, this is here. And our thing has always been for Jamie, like I said, I didn't know what to do when he was small. And all I wanted was somebody to tell me, this is here, this is there, this is what you need, and I'll do it. I will do. If you told me, Siobhan, go to the moon, and that will, yeah. I will do whatever I need. And it's really important that I say this. I'm not trying to fix Jamie. I fully accept him as he is. What we're trying to do is support him in every possible way. So when we saw that this was available in America, we were like, well, let's go.
Napa, what does Napa stand for, I wonder? No. Right. Asking tough questions today. Sorry. But it's a centre of excellence.
It's a centre of excellence. Basically, they're a multidisciplinary team. They're very highly qualified. They're very highly experienced because, again, they have more access to lots and lots of children. Yeah. And they do what's known as intensive therapy. So if you think of, typically, if I know you run, if you hurt yourself, you go to physio and you might go once a week. Children like Jamie might go to physiotherapy once a week or occupational therapy once a week. What they do is more of an intensive model. So you do it for a couple of hours every single day for 3 weeks.
Right.
So you're getting that, like a bigger blast into the brain, because that his brain isn't picking up on the information from the environment like a typically developing brain is. So he needs more information.
Have you been to Napa then?
We haven't. We were supposed to go. COVID.
Oh, dreaded COVID, yeah.
Yeah, but in a way, COVID wasn't a hugely bad thing for us. Lockdown was actually quite nice.
Yeah, and you described that, brilliantly because you were cocooned in your little family. As a result of that, he felt safe.
Yeah, and it was that feeling, I suppose, everybody else getting to feel what we had been feeling for years, that isolation, that, you know, being on your own. But also it was lovely because we were all together and the world just stopped for him. So he didn't have to go out into the scary world. But anyway, back to Napa.
Yeah, which is, just for your information, Neurological and Physical Habilitation Centre.
Habilitation.
No, a new word on me.
Yeah, and that's kind of the language around it is really important, because it's that feeling, it's that presumption of competence that, of course, let's try it.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
you know,
yeah,
let's.
So it's not rehabilitation, it's habilitation.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you didn't get into Napa, but you got to go to Smile in Toronto.
I did.
And this is where you encountered this amazing piece of equipment.
Yeah. So because we were supposed to go to Napa and then COVID hit, so we couldn't, and then we didn't get a place. It's quite difficult to get a place. We had been working with Smile also, so that also has an acronym if you want to. So similar things. So it's physio, occupational therapy, speech therapy, because Jamie needs all of the above. And they have, the robotics. So we went for a 2-week intensive block where he did 3 to 4 hours a day for those 2 weeks.
Describe this piece of kit then.
Try to get this over radio, Siobhan. Okay. So it is walking frame with robotic legs in it.
Okay. It's so easy. The wrong trousers.
Kind of like the wrong trousers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wallace and Gromit, the wrong trousers.
Exactly. And like the wrong trousers, the top of the body
is free.
Or some children need more support in the upper body. Jamie's upper body he can hold himself upright and he can hold his head upright. Other children using the Trexo might need more support.
Right.
So you give as much as the child needs, but not too much. Because
what does this contraption then do for Jamie?
So basically he was put in this contraption that walks for him. But this is what's joyful about the Trexo is that, so you get an iPad as well with it, And as it walks for you, there's actually a part of his leg that will initiate the step. So, you know, the more you do something, it's like a patterning thing. His brain will go, oh, wow, this is what my legs are supposed to do. And that will initiate then the left and the right.
Isn't that amazing?
And the Trexo will track that. So it will track. So we'll say on his very first day, I believe it was like 11%. His left leg is much weaker than his right. So I think it was like 11% and 13%. And so you're able to track the both.
Yes,
and then it was 5% more by the time we were finished.
And the brilliant thing about this is developed by a man for his nephew who was disabled.
Yes.
And he looked around and there was nothing for them. There were adult versions, but he developed it for it.
Yeah.
So it's developed out of love.
Yes.
Which is lovely.
Yeah, and it's developed as well for disabled children to feel what it's like to be upright.
Yes, yes, which is hugely important. Yeah. And you've seen the benefit.
Yeah.
You've seen the benefit. This could change Jamie's life.
This could change all our lives.
Yeah.
Because he's...
Okay. Now, you've gone to the reservoir of generosity.
I have.
To a number of times to friends and family and people in the locality. And you think now the best thing is to go after a corporate, somebody with deep pockets.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can imagine robotics are not cheap.
Cheap, yeah.
So, I feel that because it could potentially be the first one in Ireland, because it's so cutting edge and it's groundbreaking, that there are people corporations out there that might be interested in sponsoring Jamie and perhaps open the door for other children in Ireland. So how amazing would that be, that not just one child in the country gets access to this?
That's the pitch.
That's the pitch. Hello, everybody.
you've heard the story. You can go and look at the technology. It's Trexo Robotics.
Trexo Robotics, yeah.
TREXO.
Yeah.
You can look it up and see the amazing piece of kit that would change Jamie's life. And you have a GoFundMe thing, GoFundMe.com. Jamie get his very own Trexo Robotic. How much are we talking?
We're talking 45.
Right.
So that's the Trexo itself. It also, you have to buy the frame that it comes on separately. It's a Rifton walking trainer, and then get it here.
Yes.
Get the training.
Training, yeah.
And keep up to date with, you know, the physios
software
in Canada
and
the software and all of those things. And it's not just about walking. You know, this is about him being able to be in his community, about him, you know, being upright, being able to play basketball with Ryan, being able to do a park run.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's again, it's a support for him to be able to.
It would be life changing.
It would be life. Yeah.
I should use the word, it will be life changing. It will be life changing. Yes,
it will be.
Yes. You've done a really good job. Jamie should be very proud of you. So you've told his story, and I think you will get somebody to.
Well, hopefully.
Dig deep.
Yeah, yeah. And we have a website as well. So it's Trexo for Jamie.
Yeah, trexoforjamie.ie, trexoforjamie.ie. Okay, thanks very much, Siobhan.
And give
Jamie and Ryan and Declan a big hug for us.
Will do.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Tomorrow, 25 years ago, Spice Girls released Stop. And the video for that great song was filmed in Carr New Street in Dublin, and that's where Sinead Ní Uachtaráin is. Hello, Sinead.
Hello, Ray. Well, I'm not on the street anymore. I've been invited in by one of the residents here on Carr New Street, a very famous resident of this street, Bernie O'Reilly, who appeared in that video Stop by the Spice Girls back in 1998.
How are you, Bernie?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good to talk to you again. Thanks so much for inviting us into your kitchen. What do you remember about that day?
Not at all. You're more than welcome.
What do you remember about that day 25 years ago?
Oh, my God. What a day. Well, we were taking our first early morning to make up. That was in Brickens Army Hospital there. That was where the Spice Girls had their place set up. And we went there and got I didn't get my makeup done, as you know, by the video, as I thought it was. But anyway, that was all in the part of the setup. And then we were brought back around, but it was all hush hush. It was very secretive, not like now. Everything is all over the internet, everywhere. But it was all hush hush. We were told that morning. We came back, and as you do, I told my girls, and then it all kicked off from there. Then the Spice Girls arrived, and it started from that.
Tell us about the glasses.
Oh, the famous glasses. I have them here, Ray. I think the eyesight's improved because I put them on and I couldn't see through them. So, I kept them as a souvenir.
So you arrived out looking like Deirdre Barlow, your words not mine, with the glasses, and you thought they wouldn't like the glasses.
That's true. That's true. And I was taking them off and she said, oh, no, put them on, put them on. And that was my own polo neck in it, and then they put the apron on and my glasses, and off I went, and that was it. Yeah. So I kept them as a souvenir of the day.
So you have the glasses in the glass case, which is good. Now, I'm reading here that each house in the video was paid 100 punts for the day of filming. Is that correct?
That's right, yes.
Yeah. And do you ever...
I got a little extra for being taken part.
Oh, did you know? A little extra. Go on. Nobody's listening, Bernie.
I know, it was only another 100 pounds, but that was a lot then.
Yeah, it was a lot then, yeah. And the memories, you see, you couldn't...
And you look at the fame that came with it.
Exactly, yeah. You were on the Raid Arshy TV show, now the Raid Arshy radio show. You're mentioned in numerous articles. Did Sinead tell you that she met Lindsay earlier on?
She did, Lindsay, yes. She used to go to school around here and she remembers that day.
Stop right now.
You have a bit of a personal connection to that song, don't you?
Yes. When we were in school, they were getting recorded. All of us were in the school on the same road, and we went up. We pretended to teach us that we were sick so we could go home, but we really liked it to the top of the lane so we could see them filming.
Did you get a good view?
Yeah, we did. It was murder. Like, everybody was on top of the railings and everything, all squashing each other and all.
What was the school?
St. Gabriel's School on Cooper Street. It was all girls at the time, but now it's mixed with boys and girls.
And did you get a chance to talk to any of the Spice Girls?
No, we weren't that lucky. But some of the kids from the school, younger kids, were in the video, like on the road playing the football and everything.
Were you a fan of them back in the day? That was 1998.
Yeah, we had the spray, the deodorant spray. We had the shoes, the big shoes and all. So me and my friends used to think that we were them. We'd go out and sing and everything.
So no wonder Stop is your favourite song, because you have that connection, don't you?
Yeah, from the school, yeah. Like loads of memories of them.
And tell me this. Do you remember the words to Wannabe? That was the big hit they had.
Oh yeah, I can, but I can't really, like, I'm not singing it. No, I am not. Stop in the middle of the road. No, I'm not. I'd be Scarlet.
Would you sing Wannabe for us, Bernie? No, I'm joking.
I know.
Yeah. So who's your favourite? Who's your favourite Spice Girl, Bernie, before we let you go?
I like Baby Spice.
Yeah. And she had the Irish connection as well. Her family were from Ferns in County Wexford.
Were they? Yeah. Liked her.
Bernie, I'm going to make...
They were all nice now, in fairness to them.
I'm going to make a date with you now for the 30th anniversary. 5 years' time, okay?
Oh, God. I'll be really an OAP by then.
Thanks again, Sinead. Thank you so much for bringing back all the memories. Thank you. Gurmaga Koit. Just did the whole dance to Stop Right Now in the kitchen, but can't remember why I was in the kitchen in the first place. Sign of my age, says Maeve. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Let's get this going. The Whodunit Quiz. We've two quizzers standing by and a prize. It's a two-night stay for two people in the Riverlea Hotel in Cork. It's a family-run Irish luxury hotel, part of the Doyle Collection. DoyleCollection.com. And spring is in the air and loads to discover around Cork, and they have a dinner inclusive deal, and for a limited time, if you use the promo code CHAMPAGNE, you get a free bottle of champagne on arrival. Beautiful riverside location, luxurious bedrooms and dining and drinks options to suit every taste. DoyleCollection.com. Hello, Ciara Gaffney.
Hello Ray, how are you?
Not too bad. You're in Navan and County Meath. How are things up there?
Hi. Oh, all good up here.
Now, you work with your husband.
I do, yeah. I say for him, he says with him.
You say for him, he says with him. Let's call the whole thing off. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We always get asked this, Jenny and I. What's it like working with your partner? Well, I'm going to ask you that question.
It's good. Like, he's very easygoing, I have to say.
Yeah.
Like, he might think different, but I think he's very easygoing. Yeah, we get on very well, in fairness.
And what's the business?
It's a haulage firm, a small haulage firm.
Right. And did you set it up together, or what way did it come about?
No. My husband set it up himself. So he set it up a good few years ago. Mm. I worked for a long time in insurance. So I was in Aviva for about 15 years.
Yeah.
And then after the babies came along and all that, we just needed a bit better quality of life. I was doing the big commute from Navan to Dublin. And we just wanted something that would suit us better. So we tried to expand the business a little bit so that I could take part. So that's what we're doing.
Isn't it great to be able to do that?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. We're lucky that we're able to do it. It's tough. You know, times are hard as well, like they are for everybody. But we're pushing along and we're doing okay, thank God.
And you like the letter A?
Yeah, it's either that or we're very lazy when it came to the baby name book.
Oh, you didn't get past the A's, right?
No, I was too tired. No, we just got the A. That's it, right?
Right, so you've Amy, Aaron and Alana.
Amy, Aaron and Alana, yes.
Right. And it was obviously when Alana was coming along, it was obvious that the other two began with A and this was going to be the third A. So it became a thing, did it?
It became a thing. Yeah, it wasn't a thing until Alana.
Right.
So I liked Amy and I liked Aaron, and that was coincidence. And when Alana came along, it had to be A. So I only looked at A names when it was, exactly.
And they're Gaffneys, are they?
Gaffneys, yeah.
So it's AG, yeah, there you go, all the AGs.
AG, yeah.
What's for dinner tonight, Ciara Gaffney?
Well, it's probably going to be leftovers, Ray, because I'm still kind of a bit tender after the weekend, to be honest with you. I was celebrating a big birthday, so.
Right, what big birthday was it?
Oh, the big 4-0.
All right, that's a young one. Yeah. So it'll
had a bit of a party on Saturday night, so I'm not really the better of it yet.
Okay, so it'll be spag
ball. Throw something together.
Okay, right.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Right, you're up against Valerie O'Sullivan. Happy birthday, by the way. You're up against Valerie O'Sullivan in Cork. How are you doing, Valerie?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Not too bad. So we have a weather forecast. Well, actually, it's not a weather forecast. It's a weather report from Valerie O'Sullivan in Cork. Over to you, Valerie.
Still snowing but not sticking.
Yeah. I wonder, did he use that word anywhere else in the world about snow sticking? I wonder, is it a uniquely Irish word? Yeah, it's not sticking. And the disappointment, particularly when you're a kid, it's not sticking. Why doesn't it stick? Yeah. So it's not sticking. Okay, where are you and who's with you?
I'm on my own.
Right.
And I'm in Crossbarry in Cork.
Right. And you're going to Gift Grub when?
Oh, tonight.
Oh,
tonight,
great.
In the Opera House.
Mario Rosenstock. Listen, will you do me a favour?
Yeah, no doubt you'll make an appearance. That's what
I was just about to say, if he starts taking the proverbial out of me, will you just say stop? Stop right now before you go any further. Just don't do that.
I will, yeah.
No, you won't. Were you a fan of the Spice Girls?
I like their music. Yeah,
they're good few tunes there. So it's Valerie up against Ciara. Ciara, are you a Spice Girls fan?
I actually learned the song Stop in the Gaeltacht, and I know it in Irish.
Go on, quick, you need a bit of that now.
No,
Stod, go on, Stod.
Stod an ishgur amahagut, todini eg taigol aysuk. Hey, Tussa, Egoni, Gris. That's all I remember.
Hey, yeah, well done. Well done. That's our bit for shocking the Gaeltacht. No, I'm joking. Okay, three questions each. I'll give you the category. If you go for a clue, it's easier. So you get a point for that for a right question. If you go without a clue, you get 2 points for a correct answer. And whoever has the most points at the end is the winner. And if it's drawn points, we go to a tiebreak question. Good luck to you both, Ciara and Valerie.
Hey, good luck, Valerie.
Good luck to you too. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Okay. All the whodunits today are women because it's International Women's Day. The first category is music. Ciara, do you want a clue or not?
No clue.
No clue. Who is this for 2 points? I came in like a rainbow.
Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus, you say? Miley Cyrus is the correct answer. Yes, Wrecking Ball. Brilliant video. Did you ever see Jason Bourne doing his impersonation of Miley Cyrus on a Wrecking Ball? No, you didn't. Okay, you get 2 points.
No.
2 points for that. Well done. Good start. Now, Valerie, it's music again. Do you want a clue or not?
No clue, and I probably won't have a clue either. But anyway.
Hey! Right. For 2 points, who is this? It's me. Say again?
Taylor Swift.
It is Taylor Swift, yes, anti-hero. Yes, 2 points for you. Well done. Okay, good start from both of you. Next category is film, or film, as we say down in Kildare. Ciara, it's for you. Do you want a clue or not?
No clue.
No clue.
Give it a go.
What's that?
No.
Sorry, that's still going there. Sorry, yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, that's Taylor just finishing up there. Okay, no clue. Okay, so for 2 points, who is this?
I know it's hard to believe people when they say I know how you feel, but I actually know how you feel. You see, I was seeing someone back in London. We worked for the same newspaper, and then I found out that he was also seeing this other girl, Sarah. From the circulation department on the 19th.
Kate Winslet.
She's
in Kate Winslet.
Is it
Kate Winslet? She's in the Titanic.
Is it Kate Winslet?
Winslet?
It is Kate Winslet. The excitement of it. Yes, yes. That's her in The Holiday, Iris. And if you asked for a clue, we would have told you she was in Titanic. But you didn't need a clue and you get 2 points. Well done.
Thank you.
Right, Valerie. Under pressure. So it's films again for you. No clue. Okay, for 2 points. Who is this?
Any other crucial requirements that need satisfying? Would you like a tiny tape recorder? Or how about a handmade set of riding slippers? Are you sure? Because if you want, I'll bring back the whole store for you. What's the matter? I'll tell you what's the matter. I go out of my way for you. I do everything to try and make you happy. I feed you, I clean you, I dress you, and what thanks do I get? Oh, you bought the wrong paper, Annie. I can't write on this paper, Annie.
Who's that?
I haven't a clue.
No?
No notion.
Kathy Bates as Annie Wilkes in Misery, which was an adaptation of Stephen King book. Yes, yeah. Scary movie.
Very.
Radio, no points here. So you're on 2, Valerie. Kira's on 4. Now, Ciara, if you get anything from your final question, you're today's winner. However, if you don't get anything, then Valerie goes for a question without a clue, gets it right, then we're on a tie-break situation. So what do you want to do, Ciara?
Well, then I'll take a clue.
You'll take a clue. It's history. Modern history is the category.
Oh, God.
And here is your clue. This Derry woman was part of the Irish Women's Liberation Movement that travelled to Belfast to buy contraceptives. Who is this for 1 point and to be today's winner?
I was one of the 12 founder members of the Irish Women's Liberation Movement. And the first item on our agenda was to legalise contraception in Ireland, which at that time was forbidden.
No, it's Nell McCafferty.
Nell McCafferty.
Yes. The great Nell McCafferty. Okay, and she has done so much for women in Ireland over the years. But unfortunately, wasn't lucky for you today. So you're on 4, Ciara. You're not out of it yet by a long shot. Valerie, as I said, if you go without a clue now and get it right, we're into a tie-break situation.
Your only option.
Yeah. Okay. Modern history again. For 2 points, and to bring us to a tie-break question, who is this?
I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words, and yet I'm one of the lucky ones.
Who's that?
Not a clue. No.
That's the young Swedish climate activist addressing the United Nations in New York.
Oh, Greta Thunberg.
Greta Thunberg, yes, yeah.
What?
Moving words. No points, Valerie. That means Ciara's today's winner. Valerie, listen, we're going to send out...
Hard luck, Valerie.
We're going to send out a Ray Darcy Show Keep Cup. And just represent me tonight, you know, just stand up for me.
I will.
No, you won't. Okay. Enjoy Gift Grub and Mario Rosenthal. See you, Valerie. See you now. Bye. Well done, Kira.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks very much. Yeah. That's brilliant. I'm delighted.
Yeah, so it's a two night stay for you and a person of your choice, probably your husband. And it's off to the Rivoli Hotel in Cork, doylecollection.com/Cork. See you now. Bye,
brilliant.
Kira. Bye.
Absolutely delighted. Thank you. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now we're going to go and do a Before They Were Famous on the Oscar nominations in a moment. But first, a bit of Sinead O'Connor. Exceptionally brilliant Sinead O'Connor, No Man's Woman on RTÉ Radio 1. Kerry Condon, Colin Farrell, Brendan Gleeson, Barry Keoghan, Paul Mescal, all nominated for Oscars at the 95th Academy Awards this weekend. But where did it all start? For the stars. Brian Lloyd is movies editor with entertainment.ie, and Brian is here to chat about the first time we saw our Oscar hopefuls on screen. How are you doing?
Not bad, how are you?
I'm good. Where do you want to start?
Barry Keoghan, I suppose.
Right.
We start with him?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind. We can go wherever you want.
Paul Mescal's the youngest.
Paul Mescal is the youngest, yes. As I've been reliably informed.
Yeah, so Barry, we spoke to the director who discovered him recently.
Yeah.
Mark O'Connor.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he had a film in Dublin Film Festival there last week, I believe. Yeah, his first film that Barry Keoghan was hired for was called Between the Canals. And it, like I said, it was directed by Mark O'Connor. Peter Coonan. It was kind of a bit of like love hate before love hate, if you know what I mean, because you had like obviously Barry Keoghan, but you had Peter Coonan in there as well, and Damien Dempsey was in it as well. And it was kind of set in North Inner City Dublin. It was kind of about, you know, crime and all the rest of it. But yeah, Barry Keoghan, essentially what happened was he answered an ad in a shop, kind of very Hollywood in that sort of way. Like, he did the, it was a small enough role, and then he was convinced then to go to what was then called the factory, I think is now called Bow Street Academy. And he, like, he said it himself, like, he didn't have €2 for the bus kind of thing. So he was kind of, I don't know, walking all the way. I suppose you would be going from Summerhill to, that's not that far. But anyways, but yeah, he didn't have the bus, any ticket to go to Bow Street Academy, or the factory as it was known then. But then after that, then he was off and running. I mean, he was in Love Hate, as we know, and all the rest of it. And he's had, I mean, the career that he's had has been really, really interesting, I think, because the choices that he's making are very, very smart. He's gone for like these very well-made indie dramas. Like, he was in The Killing of a Sacred Deer with Colin Farrell. I know Colin Farrell kind of took him under his wing and kind of, you know, kind of kept him out of harm's way, as it were, and career-wise at least. And yeah, I mean, he's just been going from strength to strength. And he was in Fair City. I did not know he was in Fair City.
I did.
Did you?
Yes.
Was he any good?
He was, obviously.
And clearly.
He asked Mark O'Connor for advice.
Right.
And Mark sort of advised him that maybe, you know, he should turn his attention to bigger things, because he could spot how brilliant he was. And that's
that happens, yeah. Events,
yeah.
Yeah.
So Between the Canals, we have him here. You have to listen very carefully, blink with your ears and you'll miss it. But he says €7 in this clip. €7, here we go. Yeah.
All right, lads. All right, Frankie Jam Jar. How's the head?
Slide.
All right, Edo, how's it going? Brand new phone here, lads. Any of you want it?
What's your hat?
That's not for sale. Oh, was that an auction, right? €5. €5, you give me €5, Frankie Jam. Any advance of €5, lads?
We'll give you €7.
€7, any advance? €7.
There you go, that was it. €7, very cute.
And you can hear him, like, his accent is so kind of obvious, yeah. You can just hear it straight away.
And he sort of commanded that.
Oh, no, he did, yeah, 100%. That was all his scene, yeah. He just walked in, he was like, just, yeah, he just commanded that scene. Chewing the scenery, so he was. Amazing.
Yeah, because when we look back on people's careers, sometimes we credit, you know, things like that with a lot.
But you can always spot them, though. I always think that's the thing. Like, I mean, even like when you see like there's a famous film, like Bruce Willis's first film, he was like literally an extra in the background, and every time he pans past him, like, oh, there he is,
because you're looking for him.
That's it,
they're looking for him.
Yeah.
So that's Barry Keoghan, we wish him well. He's been nominated for Best Supporting Actor,
yes, for Banshees of Inisherin,
and he won that at the BAFTAs.
He did.
And what are your predictions on that?
I would think, okay, I'm going to be shot now because I'm not going to be patriotic at all. I don't think he's going to win. I would say the more likely winner there would be Kei Hui Kwan, who was in Everything Everywhere All at Once. I think Everything Everywhere All at Once is going to
Win everything.
It's going to sweep. All at once. It's going to sweep, yeah. But having said that, like, I mean, you know, I think Barry Keoghan, I think I haven't checked the odds for Best Supporting Actor, but like, I would nearly say Barry Keoghan is the next like is the close second. Like so, okay. I would be, if I was putting money down, I'd probably put it on Everything Ever All at Once.
We don't have as much time to talk about all the others as the time we spent on Barry Keoghan. So Brendan Gleeson, well, yes. Everyone knows about Brendan Gleeson. He was a school teacher.
He was a school teacher up in Malahide. Yeah, that's right. And his first feature role was in the TV movie Dear Sarah, where he played Barry McGovern. And this was obviously based on Giuseppe Conlon, his letters that he was sending back to his wife. Then obviously, you know, he had In the Name of the Father as well, which was that. But yeah, he played the role of Brendan Dowd, who was this real life IRA member that was housed with the Conlons. But I mean, he really did kind of gain prominence with the treaty, where he played Michael Collins. Yes. It was this RT TV movie. And then, of course, his first regular TV role was in Glenroe, which
I didn't know he was in Glenroe.
I didn't know either. Yes, I did not know either. Apparently, he played Sam Tracy, and he talked about it, that it was his first brush with fame, that okay. It was the first kind of role he did he was recognised in, because he'd been doing a lot of theatre up until that point. But yeah, he was in Glenroe for a few episodes, I believe.
I think the fact that he came to the big time late in life,
he
has a stability about him.
Yes,
doesn't he?
That does happen, because, like, I mean, Christoph Waltz, for example, like, he had been working for years, and in fact, he was actually in an Irish film, and no one realised he was an ordinary decent criminal. But yeah, like, Christoph Waltz didn't get his fame until well into his 40s, and he said, like, I'm glad it happened in my 40s, yes. Because if it happened in my 20s, I don't think I would have handled it as well.
So Brendan Gleeson is nominated for Best Actor for The Banshees of Inisherin.
Yeah.
What do you think?
No.
No. Okay, no. Right, we'll move on. You don't have to apologise. These are just your opinions.
I know, but it's just... I feel like I'm being unpatriotic by not saying Irish actor is going to win.
Let's stick with his mate then, Colin Farrell.
Yeah, so his first feature role was this film called Drinking Crude, where he starred alongside Eva Birthistle, and that was also her first role. People would know her from Bad Sisters most recently. Andrew Scott was in there as well. I think that was his third role. His first TV role, or at least his most regular TV role, was, of course...
Ballygus Angel. Yes.
Yeah, that's right, where he played Danny Byrne. But his first time actually on TV was either as, and I haven't been able to confirm this,
right.
It was either when he was a line dancing instructor at Break for the Border, or it was this horrific segment on daytime TV where he was modelling, and I'm not joking, he was modelling a thong.
I don't think that happened.
That happened.
I think that's urban legend.
There's video evidence.
Okay,
I've seen it.
Okay,
I've seen it.
Here he is in Ballygus Angel.
Can't keep a horse in the garden. Garden is for flowers and townies.
If they take him away from me, it'll cost me a fortune to get him back. And unless I can get him stables, they won't give him back.
But you can't keep a horse in a garden.
I know that. That's why I was wondering. I mean, you have room. Here.
You want me to hide a wanted horse?
I was thinking I could help you out on the farm.
You can hear him there. He's very much Colin Farrell. He is himself.
But like nobody from Avoca sounds like that, I don't think, do they? You know? Come on.
You're telling me now it's a red thong.
It's a red thong. There you go. I told you.
For your information. Okay, so we leave Kerry Condon to last because it's International Women's
Day. Sure.
Paul Mescal then. After Sun. He's nominated for After Sun.
Yeah, his actual first feature film role was in The Lost Daughter, where he starred opposite Olivia Colman, Dakota Johnson, Jesse Buckley. That was only a couple of years ago, in fact. It was on Netflix. Brilliant film. Now, he had a very small role in it, but that was his first feature role. His first regular TV role, as we know, was Normal People, where he played Connell opposite Daisy Edgar Jones. That was really what catapulted him into the limelight. But of course, the Denny's ad. That's what everyone in Ireland knows him from, and no one will let him forget it.
I read this morning that Henry Denny invented the rasher, and his sons travelled the world to teach people how to cure bacon.
Well, always wanted to do a bit of travel myself. That's it.
I'm going to travel. Dad, grab that globe. Spin it. Pick a place.
Bally.
Harness. Bally harness.
Seize the Denny.
There you go.
There you go.
Started with a sausage.
It all started there.
With a sausage. Okay, we have a minute for Kerry Condon. I hope.
Yeah.
Kerry Condon wins Best Supporting
Me too.
Actress.
And I do think she is going to win. Okay. I really do think she is going to win for this. Yeah, her first feature role, film role, was Angela's Ashes, where she starred alongside Emily Watson and Robert Carlyle. She played the famous Theresa Carmody character. Her first TV role was actually Ballygus Angel as well, where she starred alongside Colin Farrell. So that's a nice little bit of symmetry.
Well, we play
there.
This clip from Banshees of Inisherin. It's her and
Barry Keoghan.
And how is it, Siobhan, that you wasn't ever married?
It's none of your feckin' business how I was never feckin' married.
How isn't it?
How isn't it?
Was you never wild?
Wild? Was I never wild? I don't know what you're talking about, Dominic. Wild how? Angry? Because I'm getting angry now, I can tell you.
Not angry, wild.
You just keep saying wild, Dominic.
Wild?
My brother told you, didn't he? That you'd be out in the road if you started talking stupid to me.
He said creepy, not stupid.
Well, you failed on both counts, haven't you?
I've...
Great scene. Carrie Condon for the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress. Brian agrees.
Yeah, no, I do. I think she's got. I think she is a very, very strong choice for that. Yeah, I think she gets a hope.
Brian Lloyd, movies editor with entertainment.ie. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. That's it from us. Cormac and Sarah on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.